So I want to throw this question out there, totally random. Has anyone here been victimized in any way by a fast food place? Just totally throwing it out there. Tim, you raised your hand. You have a story to tell?
I was not raising my hand. I think I was just more perplexed that anyone could be a victim of fast food. I think it's the other way around. The people working there are the victims.
I mean, I had a McRib once.
Well, okay, no, John has a real story there.
I like the McRib because whenever I order it, I feel like I'm a raccoon that just like rummaged through the trash and picked up something. I love it because I'm a raccoon.
Right.
I'm still a raccoon eating garbage.
We did go through the drive-thru today, and of course the sign said McRib, and Hannah was like, "Oh, it's good." And I was like, I don't know if I'd say that.
I think that was food. It might have been food.
Sure. There's a reason the McRib comes out only once a year for a short time. It's because everybody who's going to order it orders it right away, and then nobody wants it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, they eat it, and then there's just like this residual shame.
Yeah, every time I have a McRib, I'm like, well, I had my yearly McRib. I'll enjoy another one in a year.
Well, all the people who are going to buy it. It keeps Cthulhu behind the wall, still dreaming.
I did have a story because we're recording this directly after PAX Unplugged East that we went to.
Okay. We are all victims then.
Yes. We're all victims. So you have a story to tell us, Tim, that you experienced at a different time, but I will tell the story about our
Tim forgot. Tim's the only one here who's really been victimized by him.
Yeah,
he forgot about it.
Have you ever heard of the concept of like when you're so traumatized that your brain blocks off the memory?
I've heard of bottling things up. Yeah.
I'm sure like Eros in the background like, what is he talking about?
having a real deep talk today on the DPS.
Slowly putting together a sniper rifle.
So Tim, would you like to tell your story, or would you like me to talk about our escapades after PAX?
Best for last. You go first.
All right. So we'll do this, and then I do want to take a little bit of time to talk about what we did at PAX, because we have to talk about that. So let me explain. At PAX East, we were only there for one day, went around, played a bunch of board games, went to the Glass Cannon live show, and I was driving, and so I was a good, responsible driver. I had a non-alcoholic beverage. The other goons in my car all had drinks, and so after the show, on our way back to Maryland, we were like, we're getting fucking Taco Bell, and I don't need to be drunk. I don't need to be drunk to desire Taco Bell at midnight. So
that sounds like a drunk thing, honestly.
It does.
Let's go Taco Bell.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, we got in the car after the show, and as soon as the doors closed, I'm like, we're just going to Taco Bell, right?
Like, yeah, of course we are. Good, duh.
I think at this point we have determined that Taco Bell is the one we go to. We don't try to do any other side Taco Bells.
No. So,
yes.
So here's the story. We go to the first Taco Bell. It was a Taco Bell KFC combo.
It's already a bad omen.
So hold on. We walk up, and I pull the door, and it's clearly locked. And I'm like, oh, shit. I was like, well, maybe the drive-thru's open. And so we start walking back to the car, and I look back, and I see that the drive-thru only light is not lit up. And I'm like, oh, maybe they are closed. And immediately all the lights go off. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yep.
Well, on to the next one. So we get in the car. We go to the next one. Kelly's giving me directions from the back seat, just navigating me towards the next Taco Bell. And we get to the next one, go up to the door, pull it, and it's locked too. And I'm like, all right, this one's definitely open. Like, I can see people inside work, and they're handing people food. And so this is also a KFC Taco Bell combo. We go through the drive-thru, and the little drive-thru thing says, sorry, but we're closed. And I'm like, no, they're not. They were handing people food. So I pull around, and then the lady in the drive-thru goes, Aaron? I was like, no. I was gonna order, but your thing said it was closed. And then she's like, "We only got a dark meat and this and this." Clearly talking about the KFC food. And I'm like, "No Taco Bell?" And she goes, "No." And I just drive away.
The better part about that one was when you told her that the intercom said we're closed.
Yeah.
And then she was like, "Ugh."
Yeah.
She was like, "What do you want?"
So
like, okay.
So the
story there.
So we eventually do make it to the Taco Bell we hit last year. Actually, it was the same Taco Bell. It was a only Taco Bell. It was not a combo fast food place. So that's what you got to look for. Pro tip. But yeah, it was a very, very fun time. There was after the second one, Jed very funnily said, "Guys, I think I got one more try in me."
Before he just dies because of no Taco Bell.
Yeah. Or we just say screw or just driving back.
Yeah, but for some reason that just sent us all over the edge. It was so funny. But in the car ride, Timmy, you had a very funny story to tell us.
Yeah, so this whole experience with Taco Bell unearthed some very painful memories of mine. And, as the listeners can tell, I opened up this topic by saying that there cannot possibly be a victim in the fast food exchange where it's the customer. But I did forget my particular experience, which can almost be it's pretty close.
Hey, man, war is hell.
So to give a little bit of context, I'm going to try not to go long, but this is a Timmy story. So I'm sorry, probably skip to like timestamp 20 minutes or something.
Yeah. It's going to be a long bit, but we'll it'll be a longer episode. Don't worry.
So when I married my beautiful wife, we began to vacation.
Going all the way back.
You want to go back when I opened my eyes for the first time?
You want to go back to Genesis first?
Why not? Your first memory.
we were on the mountains in Nepal. And there was a Taco Bell.
I began vacationing with my wife. She's a big vacationer. And by that, just contrasting with my personal experience, I didn't really vacation as a kid. So having a vacation like once a year is like a lot for me. And her grandparents used to own a condo in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach. We'd go there. And one of their favorite restaurants to visit was this place called Captain D's. It's not Captain D's. It's Captain D's. All right. Put some respect on that apostrophe N.
Yeah.
I love this place. I'm a tried and true Eastern Shore fresh seafood man. But, oh boy, give me some fast food seafood from Cap D's and I'm as happy as a clam. Well, one particular day, I was flexing my tech prowess and I was like, hey, instead of just like going in and ordering Cap D's and waiting like 30 minutes, because they're fast food, but they're kind of slow fast food, you know? I was like, I'm just like place to order online. They got mobile ordering. And my mother-in-law was like, oh, okay, sure, go for it. And I was like, I'll even put out my card. Like, you can just cover the next time we eat out. And so I place this massive order. It's like $40 worth of fast food seafood. And one of the reasons is because I'm feeding like sister-in-laws, mother-in-law, my people. Like, it's a lot of food. So it's $40.
Yeah.
And in the fast food realm, that's expensive. So we roll up to the Captain D's around the ETA time of when the order is supposed to be ready. So it's like, I'm just going to go pop in, pop out, and we'll be good. And as we drive, as we approach it, the lights are off. And, the sun's starting to set, and we're like, huh, the lights are off. Like, I'm like, I think I see a light on inside. Let me go, like, check that out real quick. So, on the door, close. I'm like, huh? And I see a soft glowing light in the distance. So I go to the other side of the building where I can look through the window. And what do I see but a single computer monitor on and my order on that monitor? Unfulfilled. Not a soul to be seen in the entire restaurant. It's not like they had just closed and my food is like sitting in the window or something. No, this place looks deserted. Okay? But somehow, no lights are on, not even in the parking lot, not in the whole building, but this one computer monitor with my order. So first of all, I'm like, how did my order even get placed?
Yeah, that's the biggest crime.
Did you ever find out like how long it had been since they had closed? Like, there's no way it could have been more than a couple of days.
I did not get a timeline, but I reached out to the restaurant. I tried calling them. No answer, of course, because they're closed.
Yeah, yeah.
I got in touch with corporate, Captain D's corporate, and they informed me that that location was permanently closed. And mind you, it still says open on Google Maps. So they told me, no, that location's permanently closed. And I was like, but I placed an order. I saw it on the screen. And they're like, there's nothing we can do about it. I'm like, what do you mean there's nothing you can do about it? I'm like, no, you're going to have to go and dispute the charge with your bank. I'm like, I'm going to have to do what now? So I leave that phone call very sad.
Insanity.
Belly yeah. empty, not full of delicious seafood, fast yeah, right, food, right. Cat D's. Betrayed by a newfound love. I talk to my bank, and my bank says, well, you need to talk to corporate about getting the charge canceled. And I'm like, I talked to corporate. They sent me to you.
They told me to talk to you.
So my bank is like, well, you have to wait until the charge clears, and then you can file a dispute. And I'm like, oh, great. Okay. So I wait the required amount of time. I file a dispute. And silence. Crickets. Months go by. So this trip was taken in June. I heard back from my bank in September, and they were like, we need more information about this dispute because Captain D says you got the food.
Oh my god.
No, at this point I would have just eaten the 40. Like, fuck this.
John, it was on principle this, this principle point, okay? At this point, yeah. I did not want the money back. Like, I did not expect it back, but I wanted my bank to know that I did not receive my promise, Captain D's. So I informed my bank. I said, no, I did not. You can call corporate. There is a record. They recorded the call for quality service. Uh-huh. There is a recorded phone conversation I had with corporate, and I did not get my Captain D's. So the bank's like, thank you for your information. We will continue to investigate. Silence. Months go by. I think it's like October, November, maybe even December at this point. So we're talking maybe like half a year later. That might be hyperbolic. But half a year later, I wake up one morning, I look at my bank account, and there's $40 reimbursed from Captain D's.
I was hoping there'd be some really angry old dude with a bag of food being like, here, you prick.
Yeah.
I would have taken it.
I love the idea of like somewhere in that 6 month period there was like some really stupid loud pissed off conversation between your bank's lawyers and some middle manager at Cap D's corporate. Screaming about this $40 I just want to close the books on that. Well, makes no sense at all.
Well, here you go, Tim, if this makes you feel better, I'm gonna post something in the Age of Ash, you know, our chat.
Oh yeah,
I looked it up, and I mean, if that makes you feel better or not, they say the Flounder Feast is back at Captain D's.
Don't talk to me about the Flounder Feast.
I always forget how much fast food seafood is delicious because fried seafood is just really fried. Good.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I was always like the one person in my family that genuinely loved Long John Silver's. It's like, you didn't get any of the weird stuff. Just get fish and chips. It's delicious.
Yeah, yeah. Chips is good. Get the fried shrimp at Popeye's. It's really good. Oh, yeah,
that's really good, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I'm a bit wary about it. It's just because I know I got food poisoning at one point from seafood.
That would scare me off a little
bit. And I'm like, I don't need it.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
If I developed an aversion to seafood, I'd be really mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, not an aversion to seafood, just fast food.
Fast food seafood, yeah.
I'm a little bit cautious.
All right, Tim, next time, let us know, because we can visit Captain D and introduce his knee to a baseball bat next time.
It's from my $40. It's from my $40.
See, I never been to one before, so I was like, I don't know, do they give you like a little captain's hat? So I was hoping like in the mail, Tim's like, just gets a captain's hat from Captain D's.
Signature.
Like, here you go, my bad.
All right, let's spend a little bit of time, like 5 more minutes, okay? It's going to be an extra long band, a little extra long episode here, talking about what we did at PAX. So we went and we played a game called Overlords in Training, which was pretty much like, the idea behind it was that you're an overlord in training under, what was the guy's name? Big Steve? Big Mike?
Mike. Big Mike.
And pretty much he was an overlord that wanted a rival. And so you needed to fight each other enough to appease him while also preparing to fight him himself. So it was a lot of bluffing. It was a big, like, bluffing numbers game with cards. That was a lot of fun. So that was who made that again? Who was that?
I liked it because you fought each other, but the objective was also to win soon enough because Mike gets more powerful throughout the game.
Yes, yeah.
With these like card assignments, and then if the game goes on too long, Mike starts killing you guys.
Yeah, yeah. He just comes out and just like destroys NPC. You.
So it's cool. So it's very fun. So you have to really balance being like defensive and strategic versus aggressive.
Overlord in Training by Cataclysm Games. That's who it was. We also played Elemental Stones by Paizo. Our love of Paizo expands into board games. That was a fun, just like element pattern matching game. That was a really fun one because you could just fuck each other over by like transmuting one element into another when like your friend was really looking at that pattern on the board.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was like a pretty standard like competitive like puzzle building game basically.
Yeah.
But then there were like four different ways to score that were all seemingly like detached.
Yes.
It was like make certain patterns and then everybody plays the certain color that your god card has. It had like a bunch of layers of scoring that made it like more high stakes and intense.
Yeah, but that was a lot of fun though. But the peak of our gaming was when we got to playtest two of the new classes, the Runesmith and the Necromancer. Jed played the Runesmith, so I can talk a little bit to that. So, and then Timmy and Mark, you guys played the Necromancer, so I'll let you guys talk about that. But the Runesmith was a really fun one because the way that it was played was sort of like a Magus, and I say that lightly. Because you're a martial fighter, but instead of where a Magus puts a spell into their weapon, they write a rune onto their weapon, and then they hit with that rune. Okay, and each of their runes are like proprietary to that class, so they're not used anywhere else. But then when you hit with it, you could invoke the rune by speaking its name, and like he had a thing where he would like hit with it and then like call down lightning afterwards. Everything comboed on itself. It seemed like a little clunky at first, but that was just because we had just started to play it. Oh, yeah. But I could see that class being a big, big favorite for a lot of people.
In the Dragon Prince, a lot of the magic is them drawing runes and like in the air in front of them, and then like casting a spell. It was a lot. Like, that's what I kept getting the image of.
Yeah,
I watched the Rules Lawyers videos on the Runesmith and the Necromancer after PAX. And it was really fun to listen to those after watching them in action.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I know me and Tim played two different types of Necromancers.
Yeah.
And I just really want to say this right before, because while you guys were playing that other game, that was the Battletech people, right?
Mm-hmm. Cataclysm Games was the people who made Battletech, yeah.
Yeah, because I played... a game at Archon Games called Eschaton, and that was the one that's like you're a cult leader and it's like basically Risk, but you're a cult leader and a deck building game.
Oh, so nice.
Like the whole idea is that you're trying to gather minions to be buddy buddy with the end times god at the end of the world, so when the Armageddon comes you survive and everyone else dies.
Okay.
But it's actually better than Risk, because I actually can't stand playing Risk. But the whole idea is like you're on this map, and then you're constantly getting cards and stuff like that, and you get these, you can like screw over other people because you get more points and stuff than if you keep sending your people out, but you're thinning your forces out. But if like again, it's the artwork's really great on it. They actually have a band that plays music for them that gives atmospheric like doom metal vibes to it.
nice.
Yeah, and so I know I got the album just as Scion of Aether on it, and it's just like these melodic tracks you just put in the background while you play.
Sick.
That's cool shit. I like that.
So, but leading on that, because it just felt like I went right out of that and then played Necromancer. And then I was like, God, this feels great. Because I played a Bone Necromancer, while Tim played a Spirit Necromancer.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bone Necromancer, that one was fun, because I was...
You were the Osteomancer.
Osteomancer, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was,
Osteoporosis.
Osteoporosis.
I cast Osteoporosis.
That's 20th level.
Let's learn Greek today.
Yeah. I also can't speak. I'm a little sick from a lot of other things. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember the playing that, because once we got it in our heads of how to actually play, like using thralls, because I was like, okay, flipping back and forth between pages, thrall, you summon a thrall, it just sits there, it attacks once, and that's it. It's basically a body on the field.
Yeah.
But with the Bone Necromancer, I was able to use a focus spell that transformed it into a bone spear and then sacrificed it to chuck it at an enemy. And it was like in a 15-foot line, I remember.
Yeah, yeah, it was so, yeah, it was so awesome.
But that's the best thing about thralls, is because once they die, you can just summon another one. And depending on your level, when you're higher level, first level you get one. But then like higher level, you can summon 2, 3, 4 at the same time for like one action.
Yeah, I was looking at it, it's like a nifty, like, it's a one-action cantrip, so it's like a Marshall's regular ass attack, except it's like this thing you get to them manipulate.
And they all attack, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, that's the thing, too. If you're in a narrow corridor, you could just send, like, and you can summon, like, 2 or 3, just boom, block out, let people run.
Yep.
Or, I mean, because the thing is, they, thralls, they cannot survive any hit. They pretty much get hit automatically unless the other person rolls a natural one.
That's right.
Just a piece of meat. They die instantly.
They're more
of an object than anything.
Yeah.
And it specifically says it attacks automatically hit, so there's no dice roll at even.
Yeah, there's no dice roll against to it. But that was the thing, because I was like, oh man, like, because I'd want to see if I can move it. And they're like, no, you can't move it. I'm like, okay. But then realizing the utility of it, because I think later down the line, there's ways to cast spells through them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can send one out and then use that as the conduit to send out a spell, like something that's 30 feet away or something like that. You can extend it by like sending one out, and then it can do like a 30-foot spell away.
Yeah.
It's going to be super fun. You said the peak of the day, though, was playing Pathfinder. No, the peak of the day happened very early on. We were playing Overlords in Training when Skid Maradra from the GCP walked by us, and Tim walked over there with a ham on his head and said, I brought a ham to the club, and Skid took a picture of it. That was the peak of the day.
That is true. 100%.
That is freaking amazing. I didn't see it. I didn't see you walk away. I was so focused on learning the game.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, because I passed him, too, and nodded to him, and he nodded back, because I didn't want to, like, approach like, because he's looking around. Like,
yeah, Tim had a ham on his head.
Tim had a ham on his head.
Well, let's stop hamming around today and let's get into our game, because does anybody want to explain what's about to happen?
We're in so much trouble.
Yeah, I can take this one.
We've still got giants to deal with.
Thanks, John.
that's like the least of our problems.
Oh yeah, they summon for help.
That's right. They called for aid. The torches are lit.
The torches are lit. The giants went out the
back door and yelled for help. And we have no freaking clue where that door goes. Yep.
Giants outside. Giant Gondor calls for aid.
So Kezra has like 3 more chain lightnings in his back pocket, right? Right?
I think last week you said 6.
we'll live. We're great.
No, totally Tim, fine. Don't worry. Kezra can beat this in one turn. We got this.
We just have to wait for him to actually use that one turn.
Are you guys talking behind my back about how I'm not using them?
No, we're just using the reference. You were like, guys, I got this. We can beat this. All right. One turn, 2 turns.
No. We're talking in front of your face.
Yeah. We never talk behind your back. That'd be mean.
It's okay. I'm sure Benson has another 500 health to get through before he casts one. It's cool.
Oh, I am really enjoying just watching the paladins get beat up on. It's pretty fun.
Thanks, buddy.
Wow.
Is that the gauntlet?
I've never played a game of Pathfinder or D&D where I've had this much beef in front of me while I've been a ranged character or a spellcaster. Like, yeah, Kessler could get in there, and you know, one day he will, but it's a lot of giants. Just watching you do meat sacks.
That's actually my
clubs
point.
To the faces against creatures that like literally can't hit us in the back line. It's like, it's kind of satisfying.
I'm very glad to hear that.
Well, the giant that just ran out, you heard him saying what appears to be a name that he is calling out to. And you, Mark, you were the one that saw this, because you kind of snuck into the room and was able to kind of peek around. And you know that that gate goes directly out to the quarry.
Yeah.
And so he is going, it is pretty clear that he is going to go get the giant in the center of the quarry.
Yeah, the guy that looked like a heavy death metal Viking.
Yes. Yeah.
I forget, was he a stone giant too? Or was
no.
He
no.
No, he was not.
No. Something else.
My money was on Tiger Giant.
Oh, yeah. I think it was like either that, and I'm thinking Grave Giant or whatever in hell they're called. Umbra Giants?
New York Giant?
New York Giants. It's a New York Giant.
New York Giants.
New York Giant. Well, I mean, if it's a New York Giant, then we have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
He just runs his battle cries. I miss Eli Manning.
So let's get back into this. So that one just spent his turn walking up, opening a gate, running out of the gate, and of course, yelling is a free action. Of course, we all know this. The next stone giant in turn is the one here in the center of everybody. It sees Kezra in the back, still casting spells and shit, so he's just gonna throw more stones. Rock.
Oh yeah, that's great. I forgot that Hulk got get crit, so
it got yeeted down the hallway.
So you're just like, oh no, he's gone.
Oh, he's just gone. That is a 36 to hit you, Kezra.
That's a hit.
Okay. 21 points of bludgeoning. Second rock. Miss. Third rock. And a miss. Right. Now, Kizer, it is your turn.
All right. My turn. Chain lightning. Let's go. First guy first. Going right the line.
Yeah. All right.
Roll some reflex saves.
I can do that. Reflex save on number one. 20.
Oh, thank God.
Assume that's a fail?
That's a fail.
Okay.
I'm scared.
Bleeding foot is 24, so another fail.
Oh, fail.
Yes.
Next one. This is not the orator. This is the one that just hit you. Natural 20.
God damn it.
What a jerk. You rolled two natural 20s on chain
lightning. Oh, my gosh.
So the first two just get pelted with 50 damage of lightning.
Okay.
Straight to the bellies, and then that last guy, I don't know, goes into the clubs, then it goes into the ground.
What you're not realizing is that it's Pokemon rules, and they have natural resistance. They take they
no,
take half
damage. Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not ground types.
They're connected to the ground.
Stone giants.
All right.
One stone giant who has a rubber mallet.
Yeah.
All right. So the first one actually dies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sick.
So that one is dead. He had 49 hit points.
Oh,
so
yes.
Just enough to take him down.
That still only counts as one.
So with that, you can take the rest of your turn. Let me just add the 50 damage here.
With the last action, he will. He'll just raise his shield.
All right. Grimshaw, it is your turn.
Oh boy. Okay. So the one I was going to step on an attack is dead. So I am going to. Actually, aren't I prone? Didn't I get whacked against the wall?
Yeah, you got thrown.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, big swing. Big swing.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah,
that's why
yeah.
You're back in that corner.
Right. Okay, so I'm definitely prone. I probably still have my weapons and my shield. I don't think I'll pick up those. So I'm just going to take one action to stand. And then I am going to gamble. And I'm going to reach out my hand and warp the void on good old Bonefoot. So
bleeding
give me
foot.
A fortitude save. I know it's the worst save to make you roll, but Yeah, well, I mean, the best.
Giants, giants not known for their fortuitous nature.
Everybody Let's knows see they here. Got a big range.
Very bad roll, 23.
Oh my gosh, that's a fail.
Yeah, that's actually a fail. It is.
Okay, so that means I'm going to do full damage, which is 7d4. 7d4.
7d4, okay.
Yes, yes.
No, say 74 damage. Spell.
74 damage, wow.
Was that cantrip?
Okay, okay, I got some pretty good damage so far. Meaning terrible damage.
Oh, he's trying to split it.
14 points of void damage.
Okay, then.
Yeah, I was kind of meant to kill him, but that's my turn.
Nope. All right. After that, Elkwood.
Okay, so after that crit, Elkwood got sent into the hallway.
Like, and you went full scorpion, by the way, when you flew.
Yeah.
Face plant with your legs over top.
you know, the best part, though, is that Kezra can see it, and maybe Benson, but he just flips up because he has Kip up.
So
he just kind of like lays on the ground for a moment. Because Kip up is one of the feats that I took.
Nice.
You know,
yeah.
I never was like, I picked it, and I'm like, I'm probably not going to use it. And I'm like, okay, no, when we're dealing with giants.
Yeah.
I love the way you use like feats like quick draw and Kip up. You get so much mileage out of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I forget about them all the time.
Yeah, no, it works really well, and I'm just like, all right, this works. And I'm like, okay, so that was no action to stand up. So he sees Kezra blitz through the lightning. He's going to take one move action to get back up here. The warder is still up, and that was his hunted prey still, so he's not changing that at all.
Okay, fair, yeah, yep.
And so he's going to... that's a 28 to hit.
It's a miss.
And yeah, that was a two action. So that's his turn.
That's his turn.
I mean, he's a little woozy from that hit. I mean,
yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
He got hit hard. So.
The birds flying around your head. Yeah. okay, so it is the stone giant in the back. So the one that you were going after, the orator. He is going to. You're back up. So he'll throw rocks at you.
Oh, not the guy that just shot lightning.
Well, yeah, but now you're in the way of the lightning.
Ah, true.
In my way, thanks, buddy.
Damn it.
32 to hit you.
Yeah, that hits.
Okay.
Okay. He is throwing through two people. So what kind of cover are you giving, my boy Elkwood?
Oh, it'd be standard cover. So
plus two.
Oh, if it's a plus two, that'll be a 30, right? Basically.
No, plus two to your AC.
Yeah, but yeah, plus two to your AC.
So 33, so that...
Oh, so there's a miss with cover. There we go. Okay.
He hits one of the other giants in the back of the head.
Stop another flying right now. Next one is a miss. And last one, natural 20.
Of course it is.
Howie! All right.
It's a rock, right?
That's a rock.
It's a big ass rock.
It's a Volvo.
He picks up a full size car, full size sedan.
Is that German? Chucks
it. Oh man! Whoa. This is potentially terrible. Mm. Earth rumble. Normal damage.
All right.
The target and each adjacent enemy adjacent to it must succeed a reflex save or fall prone. And we're all adjacent to elk.
Oh my god. Okay.
He pulled the Three Stooges one. The Three Stooges
terrible. We are literally about the Three Stooges.
Oh okay.
Like, this is like bowling pins, like in a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
All right. Okay. So the regular damage you said, right? Not crit damage.
Regular damage.
Okay.
And a reflex save against, I guess, its AC.
Okay. So 22 points of bludgeoning damage. It's regular. And then I have the...
Only Mark's taking that damage. We're not taking that damage.
Yeah, I understand that, yeah. So then the rest of you need to make the reflex save.
So I have to make the reflex, right?
Yes, you and all adjacent enemies.
Well, okay.
Crap.
That's fine.
I actually did pretty decent, but we'll see.
All right, I'll go down the line. Actually, Benson, you're first, since I'm going top to bottom here.
33.
33, that is a success. You're fine.
18 on the die, baby.
Grimshaw?
Greenleaf Geek on the die, baby. So that means a nat 20.
Nat 20. Nice. You dodged the Volvo perfectly. Elkwood.
Unfortunately, same bad roll. 28.
28. That's actually a fail.
Yeah.
Against the AC here.
Back on the floor.
Back on the floor.
Like, I should have never came out of that hallway.
Can I get back in the hallway? and Kesra, what'd you get?
This rock basically bowls Elk into Kesra, and Kesra falls prone.
All right.
Oh, no.
You don't need to stand up to use chain lightning.
Okay, then. That was his turn. So it does come back to Benson, your turn.
All right. Well, I'm going to move up and attack this current stone gentleman giant in front of us. I said stone gentleman there for a second.
Stone gentleman.
Stone gentleman. First roll. 31.
31 is a miss.
If you can tell, I was very upset by that. Where are you looking for? Okay. 30. Man.
30 against him, that is still a miss.
And that's all I can do.
All right. It does come to Bleedingfoot's turn. Bleedingfoot is actually going to step off to the side here to leave room for his friend, and then he will try to he'll try to big swing you. He'll try to big swing you here.
Got it.
Great club, winding it up like a golf club. Woof. Miss, actually, 28.
Yeah.
Cool.
Does he get the DC 15 fly check, though? That is the real question here, ladies and gentlemen. Will Bleedingfoot no longer be Bleedingfoot? No, still Bleedingfoot.
Yes.
Yes. I'm otherwise Bleedingfoot in my mind.
You have to change his name.
You can't do that. 3 points of bleed.
God. It would be funny shit if he just keels.
Right.
Yeah, just
slowly bleeds to death.
We'll see.
Get a lot of mileage out of this.
Natural one, the natural one I had. Okay. So the next one is the one that ran out.
Right.
So I have him outside. His turn goes by. Next stone giant, this is the orate. No. Sorry, this is the one that's in the middle. He is going to come up, creating a wall again, and he is going to try to big swing Benson as well.
No!
That is going to be a 39 to hit.
Yep, that'll hit.
Okay. 29 points of bludgeoning damage.
Liberating step!
So that'll only be 16 points of damage as the Grace of Milani takes off 13 of that.
Very nice.
All right, and you are still thrown back 10 feet. So you're thrown back 10 feet, so just go back to the corner you were at before. Right in front of Grimshaw. There's no other place for you to stand, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So he gets moved back. Does that mean he gets to take his free step?
So it does push. It does push him back, but it doesn't. But he didn't collide with anything because he just went 10 feet. So I don't think. So I don't think that he lands on the ground or lands prone. So I'll give you the step if you really want it, John.
All right. So everybody who is within my aura of 15 feet, which is everybody, can take a step if they'd like, including myself. So I'm going to step as well.
I don't think you can step on the corpse of the giant because that is big.
No. You can step first, Benson. I'll step to your space.
Okay, so you guys are all just kind of do a little shuffle there then.
Right. So okay. Benson is going to go, right? Yeah. And I'm going to go here. So essentially our order right now from south to north is like Kezra, Elkwood, Benson, and then I'm directly to the west of Benson.
Yeah.
In front of us is a giant dead stone giant.
Yep.
And then kind of to the northeast are the two stone giants that are blocking.
Yeah, so they're still blocking the hallway, so you guys can't really like get around, but yeah.
We're not trying to get around.
I know. Okay.
We want you lined up for the slaughter.
Next one, next turn is, let me just make sure that was his. Okay, so that was his. Kezra, it's your turn.
All right. Kezra knows that guy got out, ran out there, and we are on limited time.
This is the most metal spell ever made.
Time to speed things up. And so he's on the ground, and he will cast Blazing Dive, so he flies straight up over their heads. Flies over their heads and lands within 10 feet of all of them. All three of them will have to roll reflex saves.
Okay then.
This is my kip up. So he fucking like flies from prone across the room and fucking lands like Iron Man in an explosion of fire and rock.
Kaboom!
And this is a heightened Blazing Dive, so reflex save.
Okay.
It's so good. It's funny, when I first selected it, I wasn't even sure I'd keep it, and I'm just like, I love it too much. It does too many things.
Okay, so going top to bottom, the orator got a 19. Ooh.
Critical fail.
Yeah. Bleeding foot. 27.
Fail.
And the other guy, 31.
Success.
Okay.
So it was 30 damage total.
Okay, so orator takes 60 then?
Yes.
Okay, orator's dead.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bleeding foot takes 30. Right?
Yep.
Okay. And then
15.
Last guy takes 15. Okay. All right, so orator, you are dead.
Last action. Are both these guys still looking pretty healthy?
No. The bleeding foot, his foot is bleeding a lot. Like, there's a lot of blood.
It's just gushing.
He's looking woozy from all the blood. The other guy looks mostly healthy.
All right, bleeding foot, I'm going to hit with a level 1 blazing bolt. Just one action.
All right.
Just to get a little more damage in, see if I can take him down.
Sure.
You use that shadow signet?
Shadow signet, yeah, so fire erupts from his hand, and then it gets engulfed in shadow, and he will roll one action. Not too shabby, that's a 32 to hit.
That's a hit, my friend.
Alright. How much is the one action? It's a 2d6 fire.
That's great. For one action?
Oh, 5 and 5. 10 damage.
Okay. Still up.
Oh.
Just wait for Jake to get... and you cauterized the wound.
Did you go for his foot? It's a very serious question. Don't ask why I'm asking. Did you hit his foot with it?
Yeah, I hit him right in the foot.
Oh, see, he holds it out, and he's really, really thankful about it. All right, anyway.
He changes his ways.
Grimshaw, it is your turn.
Grimshaw, looking towards Bleeding Foot, prays to Milani. May his blood be a sacrifice to you. And I cast, I battle prayer.
Uh-huh.
So, religion check to finish him off against its will, DC. Come on.
Shouldn't you be trying to finish him off with your blood drinker?
You gotta give Milani the kills.
All right, you're a biased man.
I already did it today. It's once per day, unfortunately. It's either once per day, once per hour, or something like that. I should check it out, but I think it's once per day. So that is a 26 against its will DC.
That is exactly a success.
Oh. That was not the best roll, but as Critical as previously stated, pious man. All right, Greenleaf Geek for the D20, and I'm going to roll my Greenleaf Geek D6. I mean, it's only going to come up with 6, right? 1 damage.
Still up.
Oh. He had 1 health left.
Oh my gosh.
All right. At least he needed a little bit.
At least I hit, right?
It is really funny how much health he had left.
All right, let me look at my death drinking.
it is once per day.
This guy definitely had 6 or less health hit points.
Yeah, I know. And there's a part of me that's like, should we just wait till Bleeding Foot's turn and it dies? But no, I have 2 actions left. I'm going to move to old Bleeding Foot, and I am going to attack.
All right.
I'm going to use my Grimshaw flower inclusion dice. Oh, man. I think that's a 27.
It's a miss.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Elkwood, your turn. Top of round 5.
So, again, Elkwood finds himself on his back. It was actually the first time he really failed a reflex save, so he's just like, ow.
Yeah,
I was shocked that you failed a reflex save.
No, that was a 4.
Failed a reflex save.
That was a 4 on the die. So
I didn't really think it was ever going to be seen.
Yeah, that's a bad omen, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything was ever going to get you except a boss.
Oh, no. A 4 on the die does as well. So he flips himself back up, rattled a little bit, sees Bleeding Foot. God, where is he in the initiative order?
Bleeding Foot is
right after.
No, so it's you, then Benson, then Bleeding Foot.
Oh, okay. I feel like at the same time, just want to take him out, just because Jay could just also roll out on bleed effect. So
that's possible.
So he's going to quick draw out the Eclipse, because he's too close for the longbow volley, and he's just going to chuck it at this thing.
Okay.
Because minimum damage, I mean, it should be enough. So let's do this. 37 to hit.
Yeah, that's a hit.
Okay. So, and damage. That's 11 points of damage.
He had 2 hit points left.
There we go. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, if anything,
of course.
Yeah, of course, but, he's dead now.
He's dead now.
He's dead. You can't do another swing.
That was really a mercy killing, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Tim just needed to roll a 3 or better on that D6. Couldn't do it.
I had like
50-50.
No, that's not 50-50.
It's not.
It's like 60-40.
Yeah.
It's so, even worse.
Yeah. So, he's dead. Then, now I'm just thinking, all right. Elk's just like, okay. So that's hunt prey on this guy.
Okay. The last one in this room, yeah.
Yeah. And last action is he has enough movement to dance around and get flanking, honestly,
okay,
for Benson, because Benson technically can move on top of that other giant.
That's true.
Wait, can we?
Yeah.
I think you could argue he could roll to bounce.
I thought you said that
he could stand around top of that flat old head of his.
Well, that's true. No, so you couldn't just step onto it because of the fact that it's difficult terrain.
Correct.
So,
but you can stand on it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, but
it just costs extra move
action. There is a balance action.
I know that, yeah. But no, that's what I was saying. You could stand on it. It's just because it's difficult terrain, you have to spend the more movement to walk through.
Fair enough.
It's a large body.
But all Benson has to walk is 5 feet. So it's not even like...
Oh, yeah, I know that. It was just when he was trying to use the step reaction.
Oh, right.
Which,
okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
it was the reaction.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
mm-hmm. I get you.
Yep. All right, is that the end of your turn?
Yep, that was all 3.
That was all 3. Sir Benson Black.
All right, let's see if we can actually hit something here. and step up and slowly balance on top of this poor deceased creature. Then we are going to swing.
You are flanking.
Tim, 21 and 17.
38.
Yeah, that's a hit.
Nice. Wait, flanking?
Yeah, what? 30, 40?
It wouldn't make it a crit, though.
Okay, just check.
No crit.
I think 30 is like 31 or something.
No crit for you.
For sure, it's 32.
No.
Yeah, I thought it was 31 or 32.
Yeah. Alright, hold on. I need to roll damage. This thing, Foundry's being very slow for the moment.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well.
Twenty points of slashing damage.
All right.
And second and last swing for this. Miss hardness.
Okay. Right. After that, it comes to the other stone giant, the one that's out there. So something's happening out there. You don't know. From there, it is the last stone giant's turn. He is going to. He's going to move here up against the wall next to Kezra so that way you guys can't flank him in that way.
Coward.
And then he's going to try to hit Kezra twice with his club.
Giving him the bonk.
Yep. Get magic user! Bonk. 35 to hit.
Oof.
Hit. 28 points of bludgeoning.
Okay.
Neither of us are in range for reaction.
No.
And second attack with the Great Club, 31 to hit.
Hit.
19 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
And that is his turn. Kezra, it is now your turn.
Yeah, Kezra, let's see.
Give him the bonk.
Give him the bonk.
Bonk back.
I think Kezra is going to, let's see. He's going to move north into the room so he can kind of start seeing the northern end of the room and the hallway there the giant went down.
Yep.
Move 25 feet away.
Okay. I'll tell you. You can see his token's out there, but he's not there. I just moved him off of the map. But I don't know if he can. Oh, you can't even see his token actually. Yeah. So he's beyond the gate, but you cannot see where he went.
Okay. And then with my last two actions, I'm gonna. I like this spell better. All right, yeah. So he will raise the staff of fire, and he will cast an ignition. That's a attack, and this will be against reflex DC.
Okay.
Whoo! Natural 20.
Oh boy!
Magic crit.
Let's go.
Magic crit.
Very nice.
This is the guy that actually had a little bit of health left.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still he's sitting okay. Not after the last round, but
soon he'll be sitting dead.
Drew a fumble card by mistake.
What did it say?
I didn't read it. Oh, sick! This is actually pretty cool for me. Life leech. If it's a spell, the target becomes doomed one, and you regain 1d8 hit points.
Oh,
get a little health back. Yeah. So double damage, which is good. Great.
Yep.
Wait, did I do the right spell? Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's 36 damage.
Okay.
And then on your turn, you're going to take 6d4 persistent fire damage.
Whoa.
6d4? Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Oh, because it's a crit.
Because it's a crit on my mission.
Oh, okay. All right. Damn.
Sick. That was great. That was a great result.
Fantastic. Okay, then. Grimshaw, your turn.
Yeah, we're just chugging right along. So I'm going to use my movement to get up in the business of this stone giant. I'm going to strike out with the Morning Star of Milani, which is definitely going to hit this time, and I'm not going to roll a natural one.
All right.
Hey, okay, I actually did hit this time with a 38.
Okay.
See, sometimes you just have to set the proper expectations for your dice, because it's really how to parent. I mean, that's really how to raise. I mean, it's really how to roll dice. So that is 15 points of piercing damage.
Okay. Still up.
Ah, with my last action, Milani, take what's yours, their life.
You gonna pray at him too?
Pray at him too. Pray at every target at least once a day. That is a 31 against their will DC.
That is a success, my friend.
Heck yeah. I'm switching up.
Pray that Minder Holloway.
Switching up dice again for
pray
the D6.
Minder Holloway. Love it.
I'm going to be rolling the Delmarva Paizo Organized Play D6 that I got during our playtest of the Necromancer and the Runesmith.
Runesmith.
Oh my gosh. Milani is giving minimal effort, because that's another 1 point of damage.
Hell yeah.
That's a great way to sum up your relationship with her.
minimal effort. okay.
I've been putting a lot of work in the relationship recently, and I just feel like you've been coasting.
After Grimshaw comes to Elkwood.
Okay. All right, I'm just trying to think for flanking purposes. If I want to step and get to this here, that's difficult terrain.
So. Yeah, there's a stone giant body there. Plus he's half laying on the bed, on the bed. He's like slumped over onto it. So it would just be difficult terrain to get there.
In fairness to you, Mark, I got in the worst possible position for flanking.
If
I would have taken any other square, you probably could have flanked.
Yeah.
I was curious why you moved there. But
I was like, if I stand there, no, that won't work either.
Well, you know
God
what?
Damn it.
But you know what? He's going to... If I move here, would that technically be flanking?
We've ruled that as flanking, right? Where like
it's also you can draw a line through.
Yeah, I was gonna say
when you're large, it's easy to flank.
Being flanked is too easy.
I was just double check.
Yep. So yes, that will be flanking.
Okay,
there.
So he is the hunted prey right now. He has the eclipse out. And he's flanking. He's just gonna swing. Is that 16? Plus flanking,
38. That's a success, so it's a hit.
It's a success. damn it. 17 points of damage.
Please describe your kill.
Oh, yes. God.
Hey.
This is how you do it, Milani.
gonna assume he's not interested.
No.
Grimshaw, don't worry about it.
No. So he has eclipse out, you know, from Desna Freedom and all that. You know, it's like with these giants, he pulls it out and just severs like the tendons, like right around. Like these giants are big, goes right for the artery. Not the carotid.
In the neck.
No, the artery in your leg.
Not the carotid. Yeah, like in your thigh.
Oh, yeah.
I'm blanking on
femoral
the name.
Artery?
Femoral.
Yeah. Femoral artery.
Yeah, so he
the
just...
The one that got all the blood.
Yeah, the one that, like, bleeds you out in, like, 5-10 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
take long. So that's what he goes for. Like, he sees the opening, and he just drives it, like, deep into it. Rips it out, and it's just gushing out. And the giant slumps in seconds.
Is that the end of your turn there?
One action move, one action swing.
Okay.
So last action. Surrounded. Yeah, he can't get off to where Kezra is in one action.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think of anything else I can do besides pop it. I can pull out a potion.
Okay, all right.
So he's got to pull out a potion.
All right, Sir Benson, it's your turn.
Benson's going to start hightailing it up this way.
Okay.
5, 10, 15.
You're not allowed my fort of giant corpses.
Your authority is not recognized in Fort Kickass. All right, hold on. This last movement. So I've done two movements. I'm just trying to figure out exactly where I want to be here at the end. So that's where they're coming from, right?
Yeah, so that gate you can see, maybe not quite at your angle, a little bit at your angle. You can see that it goes out into the quarry here.
Okay, well, I'm going to just straight post up right here.
Right okay.
At the corner there.
Right at the corner. All right. It is the Stone Giant's turn. So you're elevated from where you are right now, okay? And you can see out into the quarry. You do not see the Stone Giant. You also don't see whatever that other giant was.
Hmm.
When all of a sudden you hear doom, 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 as the Stone Giant comes running back up. So he comes running back up.
Quick, let's pull a tripwire so he trips over. Falls in the fire and dies.
He trips, falls right in the fire.
So he's going to run up. I'll say... Oh, he sees Kezzer over there, right next to the bonfire. But he also sees Benson. He did see Kezzer cast a spell, didn't he? All right, as the Stone Giant comes running up the hill past the gate, I've got a Benson directly in front of me, but I also see a Kezzer that's within reach if I get a little bit deeper. He does not know where everybody else is. Here's what he'll do. He can't see Benson from the angle as he's running up, so he will run up and try to hit Kezzer.
Alrighty.
So he needs to get in as far as he can, so he's right up against the bonfire that you're next to, Kezzer.
Yep.
And he will reach out and swing with the great club.
He sees the Benson. Oh, shit!
A wild Benson has appeared.
You scared me. Natural 20.
God, oh my damn it, gosh. Jake.
The one thing I probably couldn't take. He won't
Jake's been rolling.
I'll be fine.
Jake has only a 1 in 20 chance.
Yeah, Jake is hurting me right now.
This is a spicy one. All right. Crushed trachea. You get me right in the neck. Right in the neck. The target is suffocating until subject to magical healing. Can't speak while suffocating.
Wonderful.
That means no spells.
That means no spells until I can get that removed. Magical healing. So he's just like...
Okay then.
Doesn't even use a club. He just karate chops you right in the throat. does anyone want to be retributive about this action?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna do that.
Please.
Okay. All right. So crit damage though, Kel.
Crit damage.
Crit damage. 40 points of bludgeoning damage.
Ugh. All right. How much does Benson take off?
Was it 13, Tim?
Yeah. 13. Yeah.
All right.
27 points.
Oh, unfortunately, Grimshaw is not close enough to do it either.
Too
so,
far.
Too far. That's too far. You took it too far, Grimshaw.
Too far, guys.
Okay. Benson, you will get your attack off then?
Yeah, I just rolled it. It was a natural 20.
Yes! Oh my god. Alright.
You don't crit my spellcaster, motherfucker.
Natural 20, natural 20s.
Is this Don't Hit Spell Daddy part 2?
Yeah.
This is Don't Crit Spell
I
Daddy.
I see your crit and raise you mine.
Alright. What do we got, Kel?
It's gonna be good, I know it.
Guess for a can't do anything. Well,
wait, no. John rolled a crit.
Yeah.
That's
oh shit! Funny. Sorry.
Yeah, my retro strike.
Sorry,
I'm helping you.
What people don't realize is that Kelly was wrestling his children before he sat back down.
Interesting. Stand aside. You push the target 5 feet
into the fire.
Sure.
Into
double damage into the fire.
Okay. Into the fire.
I don't know if that's going to do anything, but...
30 points of damage.
Okay.
Don't touch my friend.
Right. 30 points of damage, my friend. Alright, so that was the Stone Giant's turn. He will use his last action to snap out of the fire.
Take that.
Okay. Kezra, it is your turn.
Kezra's like, he can't do anything.
You can hold your turn.
I can hold my turn.
Wait for the grace of Milani.
I guess.
Speak up, Kendra. What's wrong?
Yeah, I guess.
Why aren't you speaking?
I guess.
Tell me.
He has to delay. I was going to say maybe I could order little Kezra to heal me, but I think I'd have to be able to command him. So, yeah.
All right.
You have a mental link?
I don't think it explicitly says I can. It doesn't. No. I can't speak with him telepathically. There's like a special abilities for that.
Well, remember, you did teach little Kezra ASL, so. You know.
The snake.
Yes.
I was about to say, did we talk about this before?
No, I'm just making shit up.
I was about to say, the idea of... I forgot?
I love the idea of a snake doing sign language. And sign language.
It's really funny.
I mean, it just spells out the letters with its body.
Right. Okay. Grimshaw, it is your turn.
All right, Grimshaw is going to zippity zip. Join the bonfire, as it were. It kind of actually looks like a cozy scene if you ignore all the stone giant corpses to the south. It just kind of looks like we're all just hanging out with the stone giant, getting to know each other. But that's not what's happening. What's happening is I am going to heal my good buddy? Relationship is unknown right now.
you fucking hate each other.
It's a tenuous friendship.
For 36 points of healing. You also get a +2 bonus to your AC for one round. And with my last action, I'm going to strike out with the Morningstar of Milani, because I feel like these stone giants are kind of on the ropes, so I'm acting a little heedlessly.
All right.
Ooh, maybe my heedlessness will pay off. That is a 19 on the die.
Ooh, uh-huh.
For a baby. 40.
Regular hit.
Yeah, wow. It's tough when you really do have to crit.
It's not tough even... when you actually have to roll a natural 20 to get a natural 20.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't roll against the reflex saves?
19.
I thought everybody did that.
Doesn't everyone have one of these shadow signet rings that cost like 7,000 gold? And I just my son rolled on the on the treasure finding chart to actually find it.
Yeah, that's why I banned Brock from rolling.
I got this special rune for my my sword. It's called Rune of Reflex Save instead of attacking.
I always go against reflex.
Now we're just going to be fighting thieves.
No. Yeah, right. So with your regular hit, what do you do damage wise?
19 points of the piercing damage.
Okay. Alright, and that is the end of your turn?
That's it.
Okay. At the top of the round, Elkwood, it is your turn, but I'll say this. Coming from the hallway behind you, you hear,
I smell weaklings.
Here and we I'll go. See you guys next time.
That's all the dead stone giants. Don't worry.
His witty insults.
I'm just going to hide in this pile of dead bodies. Don't look at me.